All rise.
All rise.
The Honorable Chief Justice and
Associate Justices of the Supreme Court
of the State of North Carolina.
Yes, oh yes, oh yes. The Supreme Court of North Carolina.
All of our citizens across the state depend upon us to uphold and protect both the spirit and the letter of the law, and to always apply the law fairly and impartially to every litigant who comes before this court.
God save the state and this honorable court.
Hello and welcome to All Things Judicial, a podcast of the North Carolina Judicial Branch. I'm Chris Mears with the Judicial Branch Communications Office. In today's episode, we listen to an interview with former Forsyth County Attorney William F. Womble, who was the very first recipient of the Chief Justice's Professionalism Award. In the interview, Womble shared that he began practicing law with Manley, Hendren, and Womble immediately following his graduation from Duke University School of Law in 1939. And that just 2 years later, he was drafted by the United States Army to serve in World War II until the end of the war in 1945. Throughout his career, Womble became a highly regarded attorney that championed public service and mentorship. In the interview, he shares one notable public service role, where he worked to desegregate the North Carolina Bar Association during his tenure as its president in the 1960s. This interview was recorded in 2001 as part of the Chief Justice's Commission on Professionalism's historical video series. The interview was conducted by former executive director of the commission, Mel Wright, who speaks first in the interview.
Today we are fortunate to be in the offices of Womble, Carlisle, Sandridge, and Rice, and to have with us a distinguished lawyer who has set the professionalism standards in the United States, in North Carolina, and in Forsyth County since 1939. He is Mr. William F. Womble of the firm of Womble, Carlisle, Sandridge, and Rice. I've interviewed other outstanding lawyers and legal scholars for this series, but Mr. Womble is unique in that he is the recipient of the first Chief Justice's Award for Professionalism. This award will be presented annually by the Chief Justice to lawyers who have exemplified the qualities of professionalism to which we all should aspire. Mr. Womble, when did you first decide that you wanted to be a lawyer?
Mel, I grew up in the law. My dad was a lawyer, and it was just a natural, as far as I was concerned. It was a profession that I grew into. I used to go down to the office, even as a small boy, and wander around down there. It was quite small in those days.
I believe you graduated from Duke University Law School in 1939.
That's right.
While at Duke, were certain principles of professionalism, such as civility and competency and honesty and integrity and ethics, emphasized and stressed to you?
Yes. As I recall, Dean Horak was not only dean, but he was also an excellent example of just a top quality professional, and we just referred to it as ethics in those days. But that was a part of not only his emphasis, but you got the same thing from other professors at the school.
When you graduated from law school, you chose to take a job at Manley, Hendren, and Womble as an associate. I believe at that time your father was the senior member of that firm. Why did you decide to go to work in that firm at that time?
Well, it didn't occur to me to go anywhere else. I don't recall it, applying for the job. It was just one of those things I did when I got out of school, and they had an office for me, and I went to work.
At that time, how many lawyers were in the firm?
There were four partners: my dad, B.S. Womble, Irving Carlisle, Penn Sandridge. Linville Martin was remember at that time, and the firm was, the firm was Manley, Hendren, and Womble. It was the firm name that it had from 1911.
And when you started, was it a general practice firm or did you specialize? What type of law did you do when you
started? It was a general civil practice.
Okay. And throughout your career, did you concentrate in any particular areas of the law or did you continue with a general?
Well, I look upon myself as probably one of the last, if not the last, general practitioner in our firm. When I started practicing law, it was going over to the courthouse and checking titles to property and a fair amount of real estate work, and I soon got into a variety of things, banking, corporate matters, insurance matters. I did a good bit of work from the beginning, working with Irving Carlisle, who was handling the city's work, and it just wills and trusts, a little bit of everything.
And when you began practice, the practice of law, was there anyone that you considered at that time a mentor?
I don't recall we ever used the term mentor, but when you started practice, it was typical, as it was in my case, to be in an office with older lawyers. If you were a sole practitioner, you usually tied in with somebody in some way to get some help. In the case with our firm, there were four lawyers. My dad, of course, was, I guess that he would probably have more to do with my wording of documents, and he was a pretty good wordsman when it came to scratching through and getting things right. And then, of course, Irving Carlisle, and to some extent, Dad in litigation, but litigation more Irving Carlisle and Penn Sandridge. Corporate matters, also Penn Sandridge. Real estate, Linville Martin, or Hip Martin, as we call it.
We have today a number of young lawyers who finish law school and open up their own office. Or maybe a couple of them will leave law school and open a partnership with just the two or three of them. Do you think it's important for new lawyers to have a mentor, someone they can turn to for advice and suggestions in tough times?
I would think it's almost essential if they want to get off on the right foot. In the case of my dad, for example, he was a sole practitioner, but he was occupying space in the office of Colonel Blair, who was an older lawyer in town. And Colonel Blair just let him have space in the office to get started. But I think it's important. I think it was important then. I think it's important now.
I think we all are going to be faced with situations where, whether it's trying a case or drafting a will or doing any type of negotiation, where things are going to come up that new lawyers haven't experienced before. And when the ethics and the professionalism problems arise, it's good to be able to turn to somebody for advice. Do you agree?
You take, just in the routine practice I used to do when I was much younger, a great deal of work that involved going over to the courthouse. Bill Church was our clerk of court. When I was starting a special proceeding, of course, he was a stickler. In his case, I would take it over to him, make sure that he approved of it. That way I'd know it'd get through.
That's right.
But same thing's true in any practice. I think you need somebody that you can lean on.
And I think that's an excellent point that you brought up. We as lawyers are very dependent on people in the courthouse, the clerks and the bailiffs in the courtroom. All of those people are very important to each of us in our practice and how we conduct ourselves. I know that you were involved in World War II from about 1941. And
I was drafted in 41 and got home the end of 45.
Did your experience in the military affect your legal career in any way?
Largely, it took me out of it. Now, I did do some work as defense counsel and some court martials when I was appointed as defense counsel for a person that was charged with some violation of military law. Also, toward the end of my time in service, I was in the office of the Judge Advocate of the 15th Air Force Service Command, And so I was getting back into some legal work, and in that office I served as a summary court officer, which would be like a municipal judge, that sort of thing.
Do you see any difference today in the practice of law as it exists in 2001 than when you returned from World War II and began practicing in Winston-Salem in about 1946?
Of course, the mechanics of practicing law were totally different in the sense that you dictated straight to your secretary, who was wonderful at shorthand and wonderful at typing on the old typing machines, typewriters. Today, you're dictating totally into a machine, or you're using your own terminal, your own computer in your own office, and just the mechanics of the practice. Your copy work, for example, all of your copying now is done with your copy machines. You don't have carbon papers and having to go through multiple copies and erasures and all the rest of it. So the mechanics of everything are different. Technology, the maintenance of records, the maintenance of time records, none of that was like it is today.
What about the relationship between attorney and client? The basic need for
the... Well, I think the basics are always the same. Now, if you're talking about when you get to the basics, that's what we always say to the young lawyers. The one thing that we think has held our firm together has been the basics, the idea of honesty and integrity and being a student of the law, doing the work you need to do in a professional way, and those things. Those things don't change. They always were there. Like my dad, when I started out, said the law is a jealous mistress. Another way he put it was that a lawyer who has stopped studying has retired, whether he knows it or not.
That's right. If a student, whether high school or college or a law student, is thinking about going into the legal field as a career today, would you encourage him to do so? And if so, what advice would you give them?
I would say that the profession is still an honorable profession, just like it was as far back as I've ever known anything about the law. And I think that you hear much more criticism of the law, whether there is more criticism or not. I don't know how much more. I'm sure that there have always been times when lawyers were criticized because lawyers, unlike doctors are always trying to help a person. There's no controversy. You're not trying to decide whether to keep the person alive or kill them. In a law firm, you've got controversy. And there's going to be a winner and a loser. And the loser wants to blame somebody. And might blame, he seldom blames himself. He'd rather blame the court or the lawyer. So you have that basic kind of difference that does impact the lawyer's reputations.
We'll be right back.
Hey, Susan! Great to see you. Shopping for coffee?
Hey, Sharon. Yeah, work's been really draining, and I need extra caffeine just to get motivated to finish the day.
Well, you should really consider applying to work with me in the judicial branch. I know we're hiring for positions down at the courthouse.
Really? Huh. I never really thought about a career with the courts.
Well, you should. I love my job. I work 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, and I have generous paid vacation and sick leave, plus 12 paid holidays a year.
No way. Do you have medical coverage too?
I sure do. I have medical coverage, a retirement plan, and flexible benefits that include vision and dental, among other benefits. And they trained me on what I needed to do.
Wow, that really does sound like a great job. Where can I learn more?
You can go to nccourts.gov/careers and view any current vacancies.
Great, I'm going to check it out tonight.
Don't wait any longer to start a rewarding career with the judicial branch. We have positions available in all 100 North Carolina counties. Do your career justice and apply today. Visit nccourts.gov/careers to learn more.
We now return to a 2001 interview with former Forsyth attorney William F. Womble. In this segment, Womble shares about his tenure as president of the North Carolina Bar Association and answers questions about his legacy.
During the late 40s, you began a strong and highly regarded public service record to the bar. Some of that service included local and state bar associations as well as the ABA. You were noted for being instrumental in desegregating the North Carolina Bar Association in the 1960s and held various leadership positions in just about every aspect of the bar. You served as a member of the North Carolina House of Representatives, and you continued to hold strong commitments with your church and throughout public and civic organizations. Tell us how you became interested in so many avenues of public and civic service, as well as your legal career, and how that service affected your family life and your in the practice of law. How were you able to do so many different things?
That's a pretty big question.
It is a big question. The other side would normally object to that. The judge would make me ask it a little differently. But how did you do so many things for so many different groups and do them so well?
I don't know how well I did them, but I can't help but just feel I came by it naturally. I did not set out to do many of the things that I did. I just I got into the church work. I got into the bar work. I felt it was all a part of life, I guess. And I'm sure that there were times, I know there were times when I was in the legislature that you were talking about family, that I was away from family too much. As a matter of fact, that was one of the reasons I quit after three terms in the legislature rather than going on. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed being in the legislature. I enjoyed the relationship and what I was doing. But our children were young. We had three children at that time. And it was tough on Jane to be away as much as I was. And so after three terms, I decided I better quit.
Do you think that public service is important for our profession, whether it be in the legislature or the school board or coaching a soccer team? Is public service an important thing and part of professionalism?
To me, it's one of those things that I think most any good professional will get into, either by design or by being called upon. And I think it's important. And nobody ever encouraged me to run for the legislature that I recall. In fact, I sometimes wonder about people who talk about how much they were encouraged to run. I think most of the time it's an individual decision.
We've heard in the last few years quite a bit of emphasis on professionalism in the courtrooms and in the boardrooms. Do you think that it is important for judges to be a part of the professionalism movement?
I think it is, and I think that we are probably seeing more of that now than we have previously. I think that maybe just because it wasn't emphasized like it is now, but somehow or other it does seem to me that it's important. And I think that part of that is due to the fact that there is so much publicity about the profession and so many ratings of the profession as being low on the totem pole when it comes to public esteem. And another side of that coin, I think, is it may help the judges themselves. I think sometimes judges have been very helpful to lawyers, and sometimes they were sort of apart from that and expected the lawyer to take care of all that himself without the cooperation or the emphasis that might come from the court.
You wrote an outstanding article in, I believe, August of 95. It was published by the Bar Association. To four summer interns that work with your firm, and you gave them some advice in that article. As you think back about that article and you think back about advice that you would give to your son, Bill Jr., who was an outstanding lawyer with your firm, or to any young lawyer who is starting out in the practice of law today, what advice would you give them?
Well, that letter came out of just a luncheon conversation, and if I'd set out to write it, I guess I couldn't have written it. But I went back to the office, and I just began to think about it, things we'd been talking about, and I dictated it, and it happened to come out pretty well. The idea at that time, the purpose of that letter was simply to indicate to them the desirability and possibly the need for a well-rounded life, that you need to have emphasis on your work and your whole professional side of it. You need to have emphasis and time for your family. You need to have time for recreation. You can have a wonderful life if you balance it. And I think that was probably the emphasis of that letter, if I recall.
This may be a difficult question for you, but what things do you consider your most outstanding contributions or achievements during your career?
Not sure. I think my legislative service was important. For many years, I was city attorney, drawing all the ordinances, attending the meetings. Anything that had to do with the administration of the city from a legal side of it, defending lawsuits, that was important in my career. And then another area that tied in with the practice that I was involved in was representing the school board. And much of my heavy school board work came during the time of first the consolidation of the city and county school system, and then after the Brown decision in 1954, the desegregation of the schools and undertaking to comply with the law. And I do think that in North Carolina and in our community, particularly in Winston-Salem, Forsyth County, it was tough. But I think we had good people on our board, good people in our school system, and working with them it was a challenge, of course, to try to comply with the law and do things right, but that was an important part. And then in the area outside the law, I've been on the board of trustees of High Point University, formerly college, for over 50 years, which I never intended to do. And as you mentioned, the establishment of Arbor Acres, Triad United Methodist Home, I think has turned out to be an important thing. And then the work that I did with the bar and as chair of the committee that drafted the Model Code of Judicial Conduct back about 1990. There's just been a variety of things.
Right. In thinking about ethics and professionalism and some of the changes that you've seen, is there any particular area or any particular focus that you think we should look at to perhaps enhance or improve professionalism for the next generation?
I think we're on the right track of emphasizing what we referred to as core values. There is no better way, I think, to really enhance a profession than to have lawyers do quality work that has good results for clients and generates a sense of appreciation for their work. Now, that can be in the area of wills and probate, real estate, litigation. It can be in all areas, corporate law, securities, just about everything. But it's a quality job done, working with your client and with respect for the system and with respect for the courts.
Mr. Wamba, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with me today, sharing some of your thoughts about our profession. And I want to congratulate you again on being the first recipient of the Chief Justice's Professionalism Award.
Thank you for listening to All Things Judicial, a podcast of the North Carolina Judicial Branch. You can find out more about the judicial branch by visiting nccourts.gov.